Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to call your attention to in Matthew 25 is verse 13, the conclusion of the parable of the 10 virgins. Jesus says to us, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So here, every Christian is urged by the Lord to keep watch so that the length of time between the first and second comings of Christ does not eventuate in us becoming slovenly in the practice of our faith. Be on your guard against anything that would keep you from maintaining readiness for the Lord's coming. And now with that, let's look at the first verse. Jesus says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins." Parable here describes what it's like in the church of Christ upon this earth. The kingdom of heaven means the kingdom of grace. That is the kingdom of the church in which the gospel reigns over all of us. So the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. 10 is the number of completeness, and virgins here represents the grace of holy baptism. In baptism, Jesus washed away all of your sins, and he received you as holy saints of God into the very kingdom and family of God for the sake of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, in the eyes of the Lord God, you are holy virgins in your baptism. So this is a picture of the whole Christian church, all of the baptized believers. And it says of the Christian church, it says, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Now, wise and foolish are always terms that have something to do with faith and morality on the one hand, and with unbelief or the tendency toward unbelief and mischief on the other hand. They are not morally neutral words, wise and foolish. So it says five of these virgins were wise and five of them were foolish. It says that those who were foolish, they are foolish because they did not take oil with them along with their lamps. They failed to provide for themselves the fuel necessary to be able to shine their lights in welcome to the bridegroom Christ when he came. That is, they were foolishly negligent of the fuel that ignites and sustains saving faith in the heart. The wise, on the other hand, they took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So the wise, as distinguished from the unwise, the foolish, the wise made sure that they had an extra supply of fuel so that they would not be cut off short when the Lord came. They would have enough oil so that they would be ready to meet the bridegroom when he came. That is, they would have enough fuel to be able to shine the light of saving faith upon the Lord Jesus at his coming in glory. Now, the question arises, what is the oil? All right, and there's lots of opinions in commentaries. But what is the thing that creates, nurtures, and sustains faith in us? It is the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is given to us in baptism. The Holy Ghost comes to us in the ministration of the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost comes to us in the sacrament of the altar as well. He is, as it were, the fuel that kindles and maintains faith in our hearts. And he does this by means of the Word and the sacraments. So therefore, when it says that the foolish did not bring oil with them, what it's telling us is that there are some people who profess the Christian faith who neglect the Word of God and the sacraments. They make a profession of Christian faith. They attend church, but they listen to the sermon listlessly, and they make use of the sacrament casually. They do not receive these things as the very word of life, but they are easily lulled into a kind of spiritual dullness and sleep. They may still profess the Christian faith, but because they have not made preparation for readiness, that is, they have not made regular, righteous, and pious use of the word and sacraments, but rather were neglectful and casual in their use of the means of grace. Therefore, what faith was in them was beginning to diminish away, and they are slowly running out of fuel. All right, because of their negligence of God's word and their negligence of the use of the sacraments. Now, so far, all 10 virgins look exactly alike. They all have lamps burning. They all go out to meet the bridegroom. They all profess the Christian faith. But it says that the bridegroom tarried. That is, he took his time. He was not in a, as far as we are concerned, he didn't seem to be in a hurry to get back. And so while he tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That is, we are all, even at our best state, all of us Christian people, we are well aware of our weaknesses. We are well aware of our failings and our faults. And so all 10 of the virgins, while they are waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, waiting for the coming of Christ, their weaknesses become apparent and they all fall asleep. They slumber and they sleep. But there's a difference between the foolish and the wise. The wise fall asleep as to their flesh, but their spirits always remain awake. because they have made provision for the use of God's word through which the Holy Spirit sustains and nurtures their faith. So despite their weaknesses, they remain in the faith while the foolish fall into a sleep of spiritual death. And when they wake up, their lamps have gone out. They have lost their faith in the Lord. And so they all are woken up abruptly. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins woke up. It's time. The day of grace has come to its climax. It's time now to meet the bridegroom. But the foolish notice that their lamps have gone out. They don't have saving faith anymore. They're not ready to meet Jesus. They're not ready to welcome him. They have, through their own negligence and their own fault and their own casual misuse of God's word, they have gradually fallen away. And now when they need their faith the most, it's gone. And the wise, they have oil for their lamps. So the foolish say to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps have gone out. And the wise say, wisely, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. You see, one of the desperate acts of an unbeliever is to think that because my mother was a pious, godly woman, or because my father was a pious, godly woman, or perhaps because I come from a long line of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastors, I therefore will be made an exception to the rule, and I will be treated mercifully because I come from a wonderful family. But here's the deal. Nobody gets into heaven on anybody else's faith. We must all have our own faith in the Lord God. And so here, the wise say, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell. Go to the store and buy some for yourselves. So the foolish go off to the store. All right, now, what is this? The store is, as we find in Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah 55, the Lord God says this, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Hearken diligently unto me, and your soul shall live. Your soul shall delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So here, the age of grace is described for us as the time when we are given the opportunity to buy and eat without money and without price. The door of heaven is open. And access to the grace of God is now fully available to every sinner through Jesus Christ. And so, the day of grace is described as go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. The problem for the foolish is that the normal way of doing things is no longer in effect because the day of grace has come to an end. And so while they are off looking to buy more oil, while they are going home to pray and read the Bible, the Lord has come and the other bridegroom, the other virgins go out to meet him. They that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So there will come a time. It has not come yet, but there will come a time when the day of grace draws to an end at the coming of the Lord. And then woe to those who find themselves spiritually unready to meet the Lord when he comes, when it would have been so easy for them to cultivate those practices which the Holy Ghost empowered them to do, to ever keep the Word of God prevalent before their eyes, to listen, to hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it, so that with their attitude, when God's Word and sacraments were offered, they would be received with thankful hearts, knowing that here is the word of life. Here is the bread of life. Here is the Lord himself with his grace for sinners. But instead, they were casual. They were neglectful. They did not hold God's word sacred. They professed to be Christians. They had all of the outward trappings of church membership, but they didn't have saving faith because they would not receive the word of God, which is the vessel by which the oil of the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts, where it can then shine forth in saving faith. And so it says that the door was shut. And the saddest part here is when these virgins also come saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." They're knocking on a shut and locked door. "Open to us." But he, the Lord Jesus, answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. I do not acknowledge you as mine. Too little, too late." And so the Lord concludes by saying, "Watch therefore, be alert to this. Don't let the passage of time lull you into a false sense of security. Don't misalign the thing that you trust in away from the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving health towards something penultimate. And do not allow yourselves to make the dreadful mistake of being negligent and casual in the use of the word and the sacraments, but always hold them sacred, always gladly hear and learn, always rejoice at the privilege of being able to hear, to eat, and to drink." And so today, on the last Sunday of the church year, we have this urging from the Lord: stay ready. Don't let anything get in the way of your readiness for the coming of Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.